Okay, the next speaker is Nick Bowman, who is a Labour councillor in Newcastle, vice chair of Newcastle PSE, and international officer in his Unison branch. So, Mick.
Hey, thanks, Alex, and thanks, Manny, for that very kind of Zionism and political context. I think the recent media frenzy over alleged anti-Semitism in the Labour Party can only be understood and has to be understood in the context of an intensification of the campaign by Israel and its lobbyists and supporters overseas to attack and to undermine the movement for justice for Palestine, and in particular the BDS movement. Well, before saying a bit about the sort of tactics which that campaign is sort of using, I think it's really important to bear in mind two things. Firstly, it's that we have to understand that BDS is an intrinsically anti-racist movement. Secondly, we have to compare this with the inherently an understanding of where the real sort of racism lies. I mean, firstly, just a little bit about BDS. I'm sure most of you here are familiar with the background of BDS, but I think maybe just worth bearing in mind a few sort of points. I mean, essentially, it's a non-violent, Palestinian-led human rights movement for freedom, justice and equality, which is based on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and is opposed in principle to all forms of racism, discrimination, including anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. Basically, what BDS sort of calls for is very simple. It upholds the basic principle that Palestinians are entitled to the same rights and freedoms as the rest of humanity. And I think also it's important to realise that BDS aims to achieve this goal by ending international support for an Israeli state regime of apartheid practices, settlement colonialism, which underlines the process of occupation of the West Bank and East Jerusalem and de facto occupation of Gaza. Now, in contrast to this inclusive anti-racist basis of BDS, we have to, in contrast to that, we have Zionism, which Maddie sort of very articulately described, the apartheid structures and practices of the Israeli state, the racism of senior figures in the Israeli government, and the impunity with which the agents of the Israeli state, the IDF, and settlers can attack and kill Palestinians in the occupied Palestinian territories. Just say a little bit about each of those things. So Zionism, don't really need to say much about that. Just emphasise it's a political ideology which denies Palestinians their UN-stipulated rights and privileges one section of the Israeli citizenship against the other, i.e. the Jewish population. And Zionism underpins the ongoing settler colonialism of the West Bank. Also missing from the UK media's narrative is any reference to the apartheid policies and practices of the Israeli state towards Palestinians, the apartheid land rights, which affect Palestinian citizens of Israel, the apartheid law of return, which Maddie's already alluded to, the apartheid legal systems by which Jewish legal settlers in the West Bank enjoy the privileges of Israeli civil law, while Palestinians, including children, are subject to the brutal measures of military law. And also we have the apartheid sort of wall which is built around the West Bank. And the other aspect to remember when we're looking at where the real racism lies is that you certainly don't see any reference in the UK sort of media when they're discussing these sort of issues or when they're making reference to the alleged anti-Semitism within the Labour Party of the open racism of senior figures in the Likud-led coalition government, which has been in power in Israel since May 2015. The coalition, which compromises ultra-right-wing and ultra-Zionist parties, such as the Jewish Home Party. I don't know if many of you have seen this excellent sort of leaflet, which was really recently put out by Brighton and Hove Palestine Solidarity Campaign. And I think it's just where they've quoted some of the remarks and statements made by these are leading figures in the coalition government. These figures are with the Jewish Home Party. The new Deputy Defence Minister, Rabbi Eli Dahan, claims to be an expert in Jewish souls, explaining that a Jew always has a higher soul than a Gentile, even if he is a homosexual, describing Palestinians as animals who do not deserve to live. The leader of the Jewish Home Party, Naftali Bennett, the Education Minister, says, I've killed lots of Arabs in my life, there's no problem with that. Could go on. But there's never any reference when you see the media sort of coverage about the open racism at the heart of some of the members of the coalition sort of government. I think, finally, also in relation to that, we also have to look at the impunity with which the IDF and illegal settlers, backed up by the ADF, can attack and kill Palestinians without legal sanction or punishment. People have probably been horrified by the attack, the extrajudicial killing, the execution, whatever you want to call it, of a wounded Palestinian in Hebron, which happened in February this year. The soldier who carried that out has been hailed as a hero. He's been supposedly subject to some legal sort of sanctions process in sort of Israel, but he's still walking around sort of free. So there's a culture of impunity with which the IDF and settlers can operate in the West Bank. Just say a little bit now about the tactics being used by Israel and its supporters, lobbyists, to try and undermine BDS. Firstly is propaganda and smear tactics. And there's two main elements to this. One is what's termed Brand Israel, which was formulated in 2006, largely in response to the development of BDS. Now, this seeks to promote a positive image of Israel and to push to one side, deny that there's any problems in relation to its treatment of its Palestinian citizens or the Palestinians in the West Bank. One of the campaigns used under this Brand Israel is trying to portray Israel as being LGBT friendly, and a process known as sort of pinkwashing. But however, more important than Brand Israel is the aggressive tactic of trying to delegitimize all criticism of the acts of the State of Israel firstly by conflating it with anti-Semitism, and secondly also by conflating any criticism of the State of Israel by support with terrorism. Now, core to this sort of tactic is the attempt by the State of Israel and its supporters and lobbyists to redefine anti-Semitism to include anti-Zionism and criticisms of the Israeli state. Okay, thanks. The second tactic used by the Israeli state to try and suppress the BDS movement is repression of BDS activities by Western governments, particularly the UK. The propaganda tactic of delegitimization is underpinning increasing measures being taken by governments in the US, in Canada, in France, and also in the UK to take anti-democratic measures, including anti-boycott legislation, to repress BDS activism in representative countries. For example, in the UK, we've had the growing sort of vehement of statements by Tory sort of ministers that they're determined not to allow local public bodies such as local authorities to have an ethical dimension either in relation to their procurement policies or to their ethical to their pension investment funds policies as well, something which we've been challenging here in Newcastle. We've also had increasingly belligerent attempts by pro-Israel lobbyist groups such as the Israeli Advocacy Group to actually try and block public speaking events by pro BDS groups such as ours. We had this experience in Newcastle last month when a speaker from the West Bank, Manal Tamimi, this group contacted all of the venues, sort of saying that they were putting themselves at risk of promoting terrorism by allowing people such as Manal to speak. And finally, I think, and this is something which has been recently highlighted in an Amnesty International report, the Israeli government must cease intimidation of human rights defenders protecting from attacks, which came out on just last month. And that outlines mounting campaigns by the Israeli state within sort of Israel to intimidate and oppress advocates of BDS both within Israel and within the occupied territories. One particular target of those attacks has been Omar Barghouti, who was a co-founder of BDS in 2005. At an anti-BDS conference held in occupied East Jerusalem in March this year, senior government ministers were quite openly making remarks that he was going to be taken out, referring to assassinations. And that's documented. So there's an increasing sort of climate of attacks on the BDS movement, both overseas and within Israel itself. And to say that is a context within which we have to understand what has been happening in the media recently with these frenzied attacks on alleged anti-Semitism within the Labour Party.
Thanks, mate. Thank you to Mick. And Mick was in fact the proposer of the Newcastle Council motion, which I'm pleased to say was passed 2 or 3 months ago, which condemned the government's attacks on BDS and more generally its attempts to strip local authorities and other public bodies, student unions for example, of the right to actually have their own ethical divestment policies, which is a very serious attack. And I'm pleased to say that Newcastle Council was in fact the first council in the country to pass such a motion, so thank you to Mick for proposing that. The person who seconded that motion actually was David Stockdale, who was going to be speaking originally this evening, and he unfortunately had to pull out this morning and let us know that he wouldn't be able to speak because he wasn't able to get back to Newcastle from a trip elsewhere. He wasn't going to be able to get back in time. But a very short notice, I'm very pleased to say that another councillor